Our Old Testament scripture reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. The Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We've just come through September, and we had four messages on worship, and now we'll go back to Jeremiah and Isaiah. On July the 20th, we embarked on a study of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Now, when I set out, I told you that this was not going to be an exhaustive study. We weren't going verse by verse, line by line, like we did with Revelation, like we did with the Gospel of John. I wanted us to look at Isaiah and Jeremiah and see the major subjects and see the theme. The reason that I wanted to go to these two specific books is because the state of the culture in Israel when Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied is very much like the state of the culture in this country right now. So in July, the last of July, and all of August, for seven Sundays, we focused on the book of Isaiah. Except for one Sunday, we'd kind of jumped ahead into Jeremiah 32, into the remarkable story that's there. Then we interrupted our study for those messages on worship. And I hope every September we come back to that subject of worship. That's my plan. But this morning, we're back in our series on Isaiah and Jeremiah. And for the next few Sundays, we will be focused on Jeremiah, and beginning this morning with chapter 1, the call of Jeremiah. Now, Isaiah is sometimes difficult to understand when you read it. Jeremiah, I want you to read it. I hope that you'll just, for the next few weeks, that you'll read several times through the book of Jeremiah. If you want to know the historical background, if you want to read history about what was going on in Israel or Judah during that time, write this down on your scripture sheet. Read 2 Chronicles 35 and 36. Chapters 35 and 36 of Chronicles, and read 2 Kings 22, 23, 24, and 25. Just begin with 2 Kings 22 and read to the end of the chapter. And it will tell you, it will speak to you about the kings of Israel to whom Jeremiah prophesied. Now with that, question. Has God spoken into our world? Who were Isaiah and Jeremiah? They were two major prophets that God gave Israel. Their prophecies centered not only on God's judgment. When I say the words Isaiah and Jeremiah, you're going to think, oh, those two books, they're hard. They're about judgment. But their prophecies also focused on the people's exile to Babylon in their years there. Their books also focused on Israel's ultimate restoration back to Jerusalem, back to the land. Isaiah served 60 years as a prophet during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Now, Uzziah, Jotham, and Hezekiah were good kings, godly kings. Ahaz was extremely wicked. About 50 years passed between the end of Isaiah's ministry and the beginning of Jeremiah's ministry. There was a gap of about 50 years. During that time, Judah had two very wicked kings, Manasseh and Amon. And then Jeremiah came on the scene. God sent Jeremiah to be a prophet to the last five kings of Israel, of Judah: Josiah, Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Josiah, the first of that group, was the last good king of Judah. The last four kings were very, very wicked. So if you put those together, God sent Isaiah and Jeremiah to minister to nine of the last 11 kings of Judah. Now, the culture of Judah, even during the reigns of the good kings, there would be a revival sometimes under the reign of these good kings, but the culture as a whole was declining spiritually and morally. They were walking away from the Word of God. They were more influenced by the cultures of Assyria, the cultures of Egypt, and the cultures of Babylon. They were more affected by that than they were by Scripture. In other words, it's what we see in our culture. All of us know that our country, our culture, has declined spiritually and morally, seriously and quickly in our lifetime. Well, that was taking place in the years of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah prophesied about, as we saw in July and August, he prophesied about a coming judgment that God was going to judge and there was going to be a great destruction. Isaiah never saw that destruction. He saw the northern kingdom fall completely at the hand of Assyria. But Judah, where he lived, was preserved. He didn't see the destruction. But Jeremiah saw and lived through the complete destruction of Jerusalem. He saw the beginning of Judah's exile in Babylon. With his own eyes, Jeremiah saw Jerusalem, God's city, burned to the ground. Nothing was left. And Jeremiah witnessed that. As I've said, there's great similarities between the culture in which Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied in our own culture in the 21st century. You're going to see that. If you read Jeremiah, it will be like reading the morning paper. It will be like watching television and seeing the debauchery in our land set before us every single day on television. You'll see it as you read Jeremiah. Now, having briefly looked at the ministry of Isaiah during July and August, this morning, we begin to focus on Jeremiah. The first chapter of Jeremiah covers God's call. That's where you would expect it to begin, wouldn't it? God came to Jeremiah and called him. This is really important. For what's in this chapter is a backdrop to the entire book. In fact, the rest of the book is the culture's response to what God says in this first chapter. So let's look at it. First, I want you to see in this chapter that God's word came to Jeremiah. Now, at first glance, with that opening phrase, you think that we might be hearing in this book about the wisdom and the insights and the opinions of Jeremiah. How's it begin? Look at it. The words of Jeremiah. Sounds like we're going to hear his opinions. But then he adds in verse 2, quote, to whom the word of the Lord came. Then he tells us in verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Then again in verse 7, but the Lord said to me. Then in verse 9, look at it. Then the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Then again in verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? So 7 times in 11 verses, Jeremiah states, these are not my words. These are words from God. If you would have gone to him and said to him, if you heard him preach, and you went to him and you said, well, Jeremiah, that's just your opinion. It's just your opinion that the country, that Jerusalem is going to fall. He would have said, no, it's not my opinion. I spoke to you the very words of God. Now, this is not limited to the first chapter. Listen to this. In the entire book, he continues to remind the reader, these words are from God himself. 10 times in the book, we read, the word of the Lord came to me. 14 times we read, the Lord said to me. 153 times we read, thus says the Lord. So 177 times, I know this because I counted them, 177 times in the book, Jeremiah declares his words came from God. That's the primary message of the first chapter. This is the word of God. It's the theme and backdrop for the entire book. Has God spoken into our world? Jeremiah gives a resounding answer to that question 177 times. Moses, David, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Amos, Hosea, Matthew, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, and Jesus. All of them give a straightforward, resounding answer to that question. I love the word resounding. I love that word. It means unmistakable, emphatic, loud. It means loud enough to reverberate. Has God spoken into our world? They give an answer that echoes, resounds all through history. God has spoken into our world. God's word has reverberated, has resounded throughout the world. Think about this. What is the best-selling book in all of history? All of history. Back from the beginning to this present day, what is a best-selling book? It's not even close, folks. It's the Bible. Paul, in speaking about Scripture, said this, the Bible said this, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Folks, we must pay attention to what Jeremiah said, because he was speaking what God said to him. And God said, not only speak it, he said, write it down. Write it down, because down through history, there's going to be a church in Memphis, Christ Covenant Reformed Church. And they're going to read your word. They're going to read my word, Jeremiah. That's why we are riveted, riveted to the Bible as a church, because it's God speaking into our world. God's word came to Jeremiah. Secondly, I want you to see that God spoke to and through Jeremiah at definite times. I just laugh at this. I remember hearing this for the first time from Dr. Francis Schaeffer, 50 years ago. I listened to about 600 hours of Francis Schaeffer. I rode off to LaBrie where he was, and I got this. I didn't have any money. We didn't have anything, but I managed to get those tapes, and I bought this big reel-to-reel tape recorder, and you could barely see that tape move. I wanted the slowest one so I could get as many tapes, all that Schaeffer had said. And I remember on those tapes, see him speaking about Jeremiah. And I would just laugh. He said, God spoke through Jeremiah at definite times. Look at verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year. Notice he marks the times that his word came. Now the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Look at verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, look at verse 13. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? We must understand this. Jeremiah lived a long life, just like many of us have. He lived in Jerusalem. He lived in Anathoth, a town near Jerusalem, son. He lived in Judea. At the end of his life, he was actually living down in Egypt. And like all of us, he talked all day long, every hour of the day. He would go to the market and talk. He would see his neighbors and talk. He would talk to people over dinner. He was not speaking God's word all the time. He was very well aware of when the Holy Spirit came with words that God meant to be spoken to his people and written down, recorded. So we see throughout the book, God came to Jeremiah at specific times. Look at verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. He doesn't say the 12th year. He doesn't say the 14th year. What's he say? He says the 13th year. Now, we see this all through Jeremiah. There are different times and places where he will say, and the word of the Lord came to me. Now, the people of Jeremiah's day, they paid little attention to the fact that God was speaking. That's a dangerous thing to do in any age. What an honor and privilege to have God speaking into your culture, into your family, into your city, into your life. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God spoke into the life of Preston Orr Sartell Sr. when he was in high school. Some of you are Methodists. It was a Methodist minister that actually led my father to the Lord. I'm so glad that he broke through, because our family is entirely different than it would have been. God brings his word at definite times, and it happens in our world today. He brings his word to individuals, to families, to churches, to cities and nations. And he comes bringing it at certain times. Do you remember when you heard the gospel for the first time in your life? Some of us can't remember the first time, because we were like Timothy. We were raised from infancy on the word of God in our homes. But some of us did not hear the word of God until much later in life. And when we heard it, if we had ears to hear, we knew it was something different. Let me tell you a good story. In 1962, two young American women, Joanne Shetler and Ann Fetzer, felt convinced that God was calling them to go to Balangao, Balangayo is a tribe in the northern Philippines. And they didn't have the gospel. They had been headhunters. Their religion was animistic. It was very cruel, very hard. That didn't matter. These two women believed that's where God was calling them. And they believed that even though they said that the village was 2 days' hike beyond the end of the road. In other words, you got to the end of the road, you couldn't drive there. You had to 2 days, not 2 hours, 2 days' hike to get to this remote village. Joanne worked there. Joanne Shetler worked there for 20 years until the Balangayo New Testament was completed. At the Bible dedication, Masao, a Balangayo man who had helped with the translation, said this, and I'm quoting him now, Masao, "Even though we don't understand other languages, at last a book has been born that we can understand. Even though we aren't worldly wise, even though we haven't gone to school, even though we just cook our meals over an open fire in our house, we can still understand the Word of God because it has come in our language, Balangayo. And though we've never gone to school, this is even greater than graduating from college. It's the most magnificent of all. For 20 years, we've been studying this Word of God and nothing added to it and nothing to dilute it." The Word of God came to that village through the translation that Joanne Shetler gave them. And the Word of God changed everything. You know what he's talking about. We've experienced it in our own individual lives. Where would you be without Jesus Christ? Where would you be? Where would John Sartill be? The answer is not good. God brings his word at certain times, and at certain times when it's been his word is ignored and trampled underfoot. Let me tell you, you do not trample God's word underfoot. You don't trample it down. And God just doesn't pay any attention to it. Listen to Amos 8:11. We quote this verse over and over and over again, and we need to quote it because of our culture. "Behold, the days are coming," Amos 8:11 and 12. "The days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it." God has removed it. When a culture ignores and scorns his word, God will remove his word. Oh, a church building may remain. Even churches might continue. You can go to churches all across Memphis. Right here in this city, you can go to church 52 times during the next year, and you will not hear enough of the word of God to be saved. It happens to churches. God's word came to Jeremiah. God spoke to and through Jeremiah at definite times. He can bring his word and he can remove his word. Thirdly, I want you to see that God spoke definite words to and through Jeremiah. Look at verse 4. "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." God spoke definite words to Jeremiah in this conversation. He was speaking to Jeremiah. And what did Jeremiah do with it? Jeremiah's right then and there, when God called him and said, you're going to be my prophet, Jeremiah disagreed with God's word. He said, no, Lord, not. This is not going to happen. Right then and there, Jeremiah tried to change God's word, God's thoughts. Look at verse 6. "Then I said, ah, Lord God, Behold, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a youth. He was saying, I can't do this. I'm too young. I'm sorry. I can't be a prophet. And right then and there, God showed Jeremiah a truth that would govern him the rest of his life. He said, Jeremiah, I'm God, not you. You can't change my word. This is my word. This is my thoughts. This is my plan. And there's nothing you can do about it. Well, Jeremiah learned that lesson. As you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll read that the people didn't learn it. The people said, we don't believe it. And they tried to do away with the word of God. They tried to put, or they did put Jeremiah in prison. Sinful man will always try to change the word of God, making it more palpable. You'll feel the pressure of the culture around us. We will feel it here at Christ Covenant Reformed Church. The world will try to say, hey, soften it a little bit. You need to be more friendly to the world, and the world will be friendly to you. And so the world would have us adjust the word of God to our lifestyle and to the world's lifestyle, instead of adjusting the lifestyles to the word of God. That's what God calls us to do. He spoke definite words to Israel, words of warning, words of judgment, words of restoration, words of a promised return to Jerusalem, words of a coming Messiah. And he'll speak definite words to us. From does speak definite words to us in his word. He talks about sin and hell. He talks about repentance and change. He talks about Christ dying for our sins. He talks about grace and redemption and heaven. This is not a vague message that can be interpreted. You'll hear people say, well, you can make the Bible say anything you want to say. Mm-mm. It's not a vague message. It's very detailed and very exacting. God's word came to Jeremiah. God spoke to and through Jeremiah at definite times. God spoke definite words to and through Jeremiah. And finally, I want you to see that God spoke words of truth and power. This is remarkable. These are remarkable verses right here. God spoke words of truth and power to and through Jeremiah. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well. For I am, now mark this, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So God speaks his word, and then he says, Jeremiah, I'm watching over my word to make sure it happens. God's word is powerful. He says, Jeremiah, what you say will have powerful ramifications. You're going to see the words that I speak tear down, completely destroy a country and city. That's serious. Well, what's this almond tree? The almond tree was the earliest tree of the year to bud. You knew spring was coming. It's like we woke up this morning and most of us said, well, fall has arrived in full force and winter's coming. Why? Because you can tell it. Well, this is the same thing. The almond tree was the earliest tree to bud. And he said, what do you see? He said, I see an almond branch. He was saying, I see the almond bud. I see a branch, and it's an almond. I can tell it's an almond branch because it has an almond bud, and it means the almonds are coming. The Hebrew word for almond is shoquet, and the Hebrew word for watch is shoquet. And so this is a play on words. The branch signifies the surety of spring coming, the surety of almonds coming. And that's the message. He says, whatever I tell you, you can bank on it. You can, in the country, you say you can write it on the loft. You can write it on stone. It's going to happen. Whatever I tell you will be done. And I am watching to make sure it is done. Just as the almond tree of bloom is a harbinger of the almond and of spring, my spoken word to you will be the harbinger of what will happen in history. I watch over my word. I've spoken. God had been warning Judah for over a century, for over 100 years. God had been warning Judah of the destruction that was coming. They would not believe it. Folks, his word would bring the most powerful nation in the world to the gates of Jerusalem. His word would bring Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar to lay siege to Jerusalem. And that siege was horrific. It was war, sword, thousands of people being killed, hundreds of thousands of people being killed. It brought starvation. Children, families starved to death because they couldn't get food into Jerusalem. God's word said that was going to happen. He promised it. God's word said that these people would be carried off 900 miles away to Babylon. And they would live in Babylon for 70 years. And God's word also said, one day I'm going to bring you back after 70 years. He said, it'll surely take place. You got people down in Babylon said, we're down in Babylon. We'll never see Jerusalem again. You can just hear. God said, no, it's my word. I'm going to take you back. Well, in a couple of weeks, we'll see a king cut out what Jeremiah had written down, the word of God. He wrote it down. The king got a hold of it. He was sitting by fire. And he would cut out the part that he didn't like and throw in the fire. We're not going to be destroyed by Babylon. And he cut out all those things. Thomas Jefferson did the same thing in the gospel. He loved what Jesus said. He didn't like Jesus. He didn't like the deity of Christ. He cut that out of the New Testament. He had a New Testament, his own New Testament. Can you imagine? You know, when you say, you look at some people, you need to think about this. When you look at some part of Scripture and say, you know, I don't like that. I really don't believe that. You're standing before Almighty God and saying, God, this is not true. You're lying. That's a serious thing to say. Thomas Jefferson did. He laid that book before God and said, God, I'm cutting this part that I don't like. I'm cutting it out. I personally knew. You know this. I've talked to you about it. I personally knew scholars and ministers who tried to do the same thing as that king. They tried to remove. They'd say, this part, this is not God's word. This is not God's word. John, this is not God's word. Well, they're gone. The gospel continues. Long after I'm gone, the word of God's going to continue. Those who live their lives combating God's word with every area of their lives, they batter against it with their lives. They're just going to destroy their lives. That's all it's going to do. They're not going to change God's word. If you say, I don't believe this part of God's word, that doesn't change that part of God's word. It's still God's word. If you say it's not true, doesn't mean a thing. It is true, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, there is something you can do. If you believe his word and trust his word and love him and love his word, love all of his word, he's watching over his word, making sure that it gives life to you and to your children and to your families and to Christ's Covenant Reformed Church. We love God's word because it brings life. Amen.